Whether you're just delving into the world of voiceover,
you're an established voice actor,
or you just want to listen to some unfiltered thoughts and opinions about the industry,
then this podcast is for you.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jen. And this is the Off-Air Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Off-Air Podcast. And today we have an absolute wonderful human being in Shiraz Engineer. How are you doing, Shiraz?
Hey, I'm great.
Welcome.
I can't believe little old me is on this podcast. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, that's humbled. Such a great start. I love a bit of sucking up.
Do you know what?
That's amazing.
You are welcome back anytime.
Yeah.
Well, the reason, to be fair, Jen, this was more your thought process, and I thought it was a good one, is that, well, in fact, you explain it. Go on.
I don't know what you're going to say. So what's my thought process?
We had a conversation about how there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of podcasts, and a lot of the information that's put out there, it feels like a lot of it is geared towards helping new people have information to help them get started. But what Jen pointed out was that no one actually talks to people who is on that journey and how they're finding it. How are you finding that information?
For anybody like myself who doesn't know you very well, Shiraz, do you mind introducing yourself? I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, sure. My name is Shiraz. I'm born and bred Londoner, and I live in Madrid with my partner right now.
Very nice.
And yeah, it's lovely here. We moved here about a year and a half ago, and it's been wonderful. I only got into voiceover properly last year. That was when everything really, really got going. And I kind of owe it all to my partner, really, because she's been supporting me as I go for my dream. And that's been amazing. Before that, I was a project manager. I had worked in charities for the best part of a decade. And after the pandemic and my dad getting ill and passing away, thought that's enough. I cannot be a project manager for the rest of my life. I need to do the thing that I've been saying I'm going to do for the best part of a decade. And now I'm actually doing it. And I still am such a newbie. I really am. I'm just so new to the game. But things seem to be happening, and that's really exciting. I've done a mixture of starting on my own and then getting coaching and getting my demos and following a lot of advice. But I haven't done it. I've done a hybrid. I haven't done it exactly the way loads of people say you have to do it. You know, so many people say, don't even touch a microphone until you've done coaching for a year. Then do another year of coaching. Maybe your coach will let you touch a microphone. And then when they say you're ready, you do your demos, and then you launch yourself into the world. And by
it
then...
It reminds me of, do you ever watch Friends? And Phoebe was like to Joey, she's like trying to teach him guitar.
You don't touch a guitar.
You're not ready yet. You don't touch a guitar until you're ready.
So true.
Oh, and you nailed the old lady.
So when you say you started, you've been doing it for a year, is that's when you first started doing some training, or was that literally okay, that's when you started recording, getting work, that kind of thing?
That's when I started recording and getting work, really. I honestly, when people ask me when I started getting into voiceover, I don't know what to tell them.
Yeah.
Because I really don't, because honestly, I had this idea 7 years ago, and I did some samples with Gary Terzer.
Oh yeah,
but
I used Gary. I started with Gary.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? And I then got the samples, and I thought they were great, but I was terrified to do anything with them.
Oh.
I just froze, and mainly it was fear of failure.
Yeah,
and I could not get rid of this fear of failure, and I even set up my microphone on a table in front of me next to my bed back in London so I could look at it every day and remind myself that I wasn't doing it. That didn't work. That did not work.
You see it after a while, do you? That's amazing though. I can't believe it took so long. I mean, I'm so pleased that you are living your dream now. You know, you're going for it. Mm-hmm. Well done.
So am I.
Why VO though? I always wonder that. Why VO?
Why voiceover? Honestly, I have been performing with my voice since I was about 9. I have a real, basically all my life, I have been into acting and performance, but especially with my voice. I was thinking about this just before as I was doing my makeup, about when I was 9, I moved to a new school, and they had this lots of extracurricular activities like learning a musical instrument, and one of them was speech and drama. It was Lambda speech and drama lessons, and I took to it like a duck to water. I absolutely adored doing this, and all you had to do was recite prose and poetry using nothing but your voice and your facial expressions. You weren't allowed to move. You weren't allowed to act it with your hands. It was all about the voice. And I did that for about 6 years, and I consistently got really, really high marks in those exams. It was very natural to me. And I remember I was new at the school, and it came Christmas time. So I'd only been there for a few months. And I remember this very distinctly. The teacher said, we need someone to read this out at the carol service. It was an extract of the Bible for the carol service. And she just said, who's good at speaking? And I expected everyone to go, me, me, me. But the whole class, as one, went, Shiraz. And I was like, wow. So not only do I know I love doing that, and I'll do a speech to 10 people, I'll do a speech to 100,000 people, it doesn't bother me. But that made me realise that I not only loved it, but I was known for doing it. I was recognised by my class of other 9-year-olds that I was good at speaking and I loved it. And I think that is something that has really stayed with me.
Yeah.
I have loved acting as a kid. I joined the National Youth Theatre after 4 tries of getting in. I've got to be honest. I honestly think they just let me in because they were sick of me auditioning. And I got in and
I was going to say, you need that persistence in this line of work. You need that mentality of like, a no doesn't necessarily mean no.
Definitely.
Just keep going
but
anyway.
Also, they would not have let you in just because of that reason. Like, you're clearly very talented. Like, just point that out as well.
Yeah.
So, Shiraz, you have, the mic is next to your bedside, but you finally decided that you're going to go for it. How did you do it? Like, what was your process? Where did you go for information? That kind of thing.
Well, funnily enough, my sister is also in the creative industry. She is a creative copywriter.
Oh, right.
So as kids, we were completely different, but sort of the same. So she loved writing and being in behind the scenes and directing and that sort of thing. But I loved being on the stage and singing and like, oh, look at me. So we actually make a really good team in that respect.
Here she comes, Miss Centre of Attention.
Absolutely. I love the attention on me when I choose it. Yeah. And so she had actually done some work for a friend, and she setting up her own business, this woman called Delphine, and big up Delphine. And she said, my sister said, I really don't like my friends paying me for the work I've done. So I tend to do like a little barter system. And what I've done is Delphine was a life and career coach. Mm. And Freya said, that's my sister, Freya. And she said, I'm going to ask Delphine to give you a few sessions in return for what I've done for her to kind of ease you into
so
this
cool.
thing that you
what
want to do.
Gift.
And I thought, that's so lovely. Yeah. And let me tell you, my first session with Delphine, I've got to say it was transformative. And it sounds so dramatic, but Delphine is fantastic at what she does. And I told her how big, this massive ball of fear was just sitting, hovering over me that I could not break on my own. And by the end of the hour-long session, the big, giant ball of fear had turned into tiny little bubbles that I was able to pop one at a time. That's how I visualize it.
That's amazing imagery.
And it was so amazing. And I still actually don't know how she did it, but suddenly I saw all of these tiny bubbles that I could go, okay, I'm going to pop that one first. I could pop that one next, and then one, and that one, and that one, and that's not so scary to me anymore.
Yeah, like, that's such a good
crumbled
idea.
Down.
I like that.
It crumbled down, and had 2 more sessions where Delphine had suggested I do some things to get my discipline up, because discipline is a really difficult thing for me to conquer. But after trying something or wanting to try something, she said, "Okay, that's all right. It's not working for you. Don't try to squeeze yourself into something that someone else does." Because it's not going to work. It's not going to be sustainable.
Delphine sounds amazing. Like, I think we're all going to want the contact details.
Oh, I'll send them. I'll send them.
We will share
beautiful.
Them in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. And she just grasped what I needed and tore it all down. and just so sensitive, empathetic, brilliant person, so talented at what she does. And without her, without getting over that hurdle of fear, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I just simply wouldn't. She has not paid me to say this. It's just the truth, I swear.
This episode is sponsored by Delphi. Like everybody has a day one. Like you can't just wake up and be, you know, where you want to be in 10 years time. Everyone has to have that day one. Yeah. But it's so encouraging when you've got a coach who's like, listen, today is your day one. Just get going, you know. But coaching never ends. Like you always need coach. Like I'm in that phase now. Like I feel like I've gone a little stale in certain areas, and I just need some sort of refreshers. That's why I'm so looking forward to the conferences coming up, because I feel like that gives such a real big motivational boost. You know what I mean? You're around like-minded people. We're all talking about how to better your career, better your sort of your talents and everything. I feel like I'm really in need of that at the moment. After the year I had last year, where I felt like I just sort of coasted through 2023, I'm absolutely fired up to do something. I've got this thing in me at the moment where I just want to do something absolutely fucking stellar. I don't know what it is.
I love the attitude.
Yeah,
so great.
It is.
I've just got this commit. But anyway, what I'm saying is, but the coaching never goes. But it all starts from that one person going, listen, don't listen to that little voice in your head that is critiquing you and this. You are good enough. Get going and get better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that getting a coach that can give you that confidence just to get going and not consistently want to just fleece you, like, yeah, you're kind of ready. Maybe like another 3 months worth of coaching lessons, like, you know. That person who's prepared to cut off an income stream in support of your career.
Yeah.
They're the champions. Yeah. They are the real champions, yeah.
Absolutely. When I was choosing my coach to get some coaching and then finally do the demos that I knew I needed to do, I had these wonderful chats with Darren Street, who Voice Reel Studio, who ended up being my coach and doing my demo reels. And all of the chats, like, he gave me so much of his time without me parting with a single penny of my money. He was so generous. He's such a stand-up guy. And that's how I could tell that he cared about me. Whether or not I went to another coach, he cared about my career just from the chats that he was giving all of his advice. He was giving his expertise. Multiple Zoom chats before I thought, do you know what? I just have an instinct about you, Darren. I want you to be my coach. And he said, look, it's important for you to find the right coach for you. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's not me. Just go out and find the right person for you. But I knew instinctually that he was the right person. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, he's just incredible. If I could talk endlessly about how amazing he is. He's still my coach. I'm going to be booking in some more sessions with him. I've decided that documentary and narration and explainer and that sort of thing is probably going to be the thing I'm going to focus on this year. Yeah. And so we're ready to get, you know, a new demo or two to add to my portfolio. And I trust him so much. I really do. I trust him
Shiraz,
so much.
Sorry, just thinking, like, if anybody is really new just and who picks up this podcast, how did you find him? Like, did you just do a Google search? Like, what was your process? Because I think if someone is really new listening to this, then, like, sometimes it can feel hugely overwhelming. And if you have no connections in the industry, and this is how I felt, you're like, how on earth do I start?
That's a great question, Jen. Honestly, it was a Google search. Mm. I think I Googled Demo Producers UK, because as we've already mentioned, coaching and demos are incredibly expensive in the US. They are probably about three times the price, actually.
Yeah, and it's crazy,
isn't it? I'm not quite sure why that is. Anyway, I was Googling Demo Producers UK, also because of the time difference, you know, like I'm one hour ahead in Madrid, so it's easier. And those who could do remote. And I emailed a bunch of people. I had a chat with Nick, Notable Voices. And actually, thank you, Nick. Nick recommended my beautiful microphone, the Sennheiser MK4. Oh, I'm in love with her. That was an amazing recommendation I got from the chat
Although
I had
Nick
with Nick.
Isn't doing
sadly
demos anymore,
left
is he? So.
To pursue his real passion.
His dream, good on him.
Good for him. Yeah, good luck, Nick. And so I'm thankful to Nick in that half an hour I had with him recommending me a wonderful mic that I've gone on to do great things with. And I honestly, just maybe a few Darren's SEO must be working for him because a few things down. I found Darren's website and I got a great vibe from that. I emailed him, emailed straight away, and we had quite a long Zoom chat. Actually, we just clicked. We just had a real click. He can challenge you as well, and I just felt like we really gelled. And you've got to have that cohesion with your coach as well, I feel. You've got to get on really well with them. They are your mentor. Yeah. They are an authority, but you've got to feel comfortable being in the room with them. The voiceover industry is still really divided on P2Ps. Mm. And if you look at a group like that we were talking about before, there are so many people who go, they're a scam, don't do it. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. You're never going to make enough money on them. But I know people, pointing at you, Mikey, who make, you know, make all their connections and make a lot of money on these PTPs. And
Voice 123 was a game changer for me.
Yeah, right. And I didn't see. Some are more virtuous than others. Obviously, I think we can agree on that. I'm not going to name any names, but it's different for everyone.
When I started out, I was advised against them, but I think that's the rise of them. I think a lot of old school people they were already there, but I think they were becoming more prominent. And I think the information advice was getting stay away from it. I was like, well, where the hell do I, how do I get auditions?
I do think though, just as how like a caveat though, I do, because I agree with you, I think they do have a place. I do think it's worth building your knowledge around industry standard rates. And whether you choose to ignore them is a different thing, but I think you need to upskill yourself. So I use Gravy for the Brain rate card. I would recommend that everybody has a look at that. They have a paid membership, but that's free, and it's invaluable in the UK for knowing rates and equity, obviously, as well. That's in line with equity rates. And is it GVAA in the US?
GVAA. Yeah. I was just about to say the GVAA rate guide as well.
Do you not find, in the current time of the current time we're in, do you not both find, as freelancers, you're negotiating a lot?
Oh, hell!
Like if you get your work through an agent or an agency who abides by the rates, that's a different kettle of fish. But as a freelancer, yeah, I feel like I stick to my rates, but I feel like I'm negotiating a lot more these days.
I feel like I'm fighting for every quote, and like every quote is a debate.
I think the rise of Fiverr, the rise of things like Fiverr,
and Upwork.
Yeah, which is really true. So I think what it's done is it created like a bit of a spotlight where some companies who don't use voiceovers maybe all the time or have looked at voiceovers on Fiverr, but they weren't good enough. So then they've, let's get someone who's not on, the rates have gone higher. It's almost as if they've been molded to think that, why am I paying you, hundreds of pounds for a 2-minute corporate video? Like, I can get it for 60 quid. Well, go get it for 60 quid then.
Yeah.
But, what you pay for.
See what the quality is. And then if you want to come back to me and pay me, a fair rate for what I do, because I've put a lot of investment into my work, that's what you're paying for.
It's when big companies are just fleecing voice actors, and voice actors knowingly or unknowingly are accepting those rates, that I really have something against. But I think for the small little companies, the startups and stuff, they can't necessarily afford industry standard rates. So it's just kind of finding the balance. But not happy with people taking the piss. Yeah.
But what? Speaking of taking the piss, some on one of the platforms, there is a certain studio, there is a certain TV studio that makes commercials. Their rates are alarmingly low.
I think I might know who you're alluding to.
And I'm so outraged.
I'm going to swear now, I shit you not. I saw a job on one of the P2Ps, this big commercial, advertising studio, TV, were trying to pay someone £10 for an advert. I thought it was a typo, and then I saw another job. I saw another job, and it was a different job. Again, something like 10, 20 pounds.
What
I could not believe
fuck.
My eyes. But you know what's sad? Someone is going to do that.
Yeah,
someone's going to do
that. Oh, it's
that.
A big brand. And, oh, this is what really angers
I
me.
I get more work. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But no, you've got to stay strong. Yeah. I know it's hard.
Really
I know
hard,
it's easier
you
said
knew,
than
though,
done.
And especially if you don't know it about is. Rates. And like that person, that's probably worth thousands. And they're just choosing not to pay it because they are, you know, trying to get, you know, using
cheap.
The name, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's actually appalling.
I actually feel angry right now. I'm angered by it. Have you got any successes that you want to share with the group?
Go on, because I know where this is leading. So go on.
Yeah, you know where this is leading. And a few months ago, so I've been doing as much as I can, and it's been on and off. And really, things started when I finally got my demos in September.
Can I? Sorry, just to interrupt. One important thing to remember is just before you get to where you're going is we had a conversation only a week before, and
yes,
you were saying like how things are, you know, a bit stale. I'm not booking this. I'm not booking that. And I say this all
it's
the
true.
Time. Just keep showing up. All right. Just as long as you keep showing up, things will work out. It can be negative.
Keep going.
But you just got to keep showing up. So we had that conversation and then go on.
We did. We had that conversation and I needed a pep talk. And you, of course, gave me that pep talk. And I really appreciate it. But, you know, it was getting really difficult. I'd got my demos done in September. That's when things really started to roll. I felt a new motivation. I've got no excuse now. I've got to hammer at all of it. The website, the socials, the LinkedIn, the direct marketing, I've got to do it all. So I'm plugging away and I'm not really getting any return, actually. And then suddenly I say this because it's true, that this opportunity landed in my lap. And it was late at night and this guy messaged me on Casting Call Club. And really, Casting Call Club isn't the first place you would go for a regular important gig. But he found me because of my demos, and he said, "Listen, I've got this character in an animation that I do on YouTube, and your voice sounds like it could fit really well. Could you do this audition for me?" And he had added me on Discord, but I rejected it because the invite came on Discord before I got his message on Casting Call Club. So I said, "Okay, oh sorry, I didn't know who you were. Add me again, and I'll look at it." And it was this character called Shima. And I learned that this YouTube channel that he has nearly 2 million subscribers. And it's been going for years. It's been going for maybe 8-9 years. And he said he was going to bring back a very beloved character. I did a bit of research and I found out that this character, this much beloved little pink cat called Shima, just disappeared off the face of the earth. The voice actress just disappeared. And no one really knows what happened to her. Well, I mean, she disappeared off all social media. She stopped contacting Tom, the creator, and they couldn't bring her back. But for 7 years, people were asking for Shima on almost every single video that they put out with other characters. About a year ago, Tom put out this video explaining what happened to Shima. And they had a bit of contact. She came back for a little bit and then suddenly just went. And he got a letter a few months after she disappeared saying, "I'm sorry, I just cannot do this anymore." So he had to find a way to bring back this character that people keep asking for. He was looking for a new voice actress and he found me. I did the audition and I said, "Listen, I've done some research and I want to let you know I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to disappear. I'm a working voiceover artist. I am a professional." And he said, "Well, after listening to your audition and after that message, I'm happy to give it to you."
That's amazing.
Fantastic, isn't it? What a great story, honestly.
It was pretty cool.
Jen, what about you? Do you remember your first job?
Yeah, I do.
Like your first major gig?
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, I was very lucky, and I think it was probably one of my first ever auditions that I'd done, and I landed this gig, and it was for an online commercial for a food company, who I'm not going to name. And then I found out they didn't actually use it in the end.
Crushing.
Because they got Tess Daly to do an advert instead. And I was like, you know what? If they're going to change the direction, I'm like, please, it's Tess. But honestly, when I got that gig, it was the biggest surprise in the world. I just, and I've got a picture of me. I took a picture and you can't, that feeling is just epic, isn't it? And to be honest, doesn't go away. Every job there's a very similar feeling.
Yeah. Story time with Michael. I remember my first one. Obviously something weird happened. Of course it did. So I was on the Mandy website. This is back in about 2018. You know, I was just brand new. You know, we talked before about your day one and everything. This was like, you know, this was just me finally just putting myself out there, just going through the motions, you know, just, you got to just get started eventually. So I'd made this like little compilation reel of clips, and it was a very terrible, terrible homemade demo thing. But, you know, again, just, you know, you got to make the mistakes to learn from. So I submitted for this job and I got an email saying, you've been picked. I didn't have to do an audition. It was just provide the demo and that was that. So all it was reading that, like these short 15-second monologues of people who have been bullied in the workplace for like this internal video. And like, can you come to London to do it? I was like, yes! I've just felt amazing. It was like, got a real job in a real studio in London. It was like, but the thing was, the job was only worth about 70 quid. And my train fare from Manchester was about 150 return. I was like, sod it, I'm going to go anyway, because the experience is invaluable. It's kind of like why we pay for courses. Like, we pay to learn and then you hope to learn from it. So I thought, this is a real life situation. This is perfect. So get myself off to London, right? Still to this day, I have absolutely no idea what this guy was going on about. It's never happened since, right? So of course it happened on my very first trip to a studio. And I was watching a little YouTube clips beforehand, like, you know, what to expect on your first trip to a studio and everything, just to try and properly prepare myself. So I trundle up this staircase, and like this, it's quite a relatively small studio split in two. And I get in there, and there's like, it's quite cramped. There's about seven or eight people in there. I was like, obviously, instant fear kicks in. And this guy comes up to me, he's like proper like southern, he's like, all right, mate, yeah, you're the VO, yeah? All right, nice. So, excuse the accent. That's why I don't do accents. And he shows me, right, these different graphs, like with these audio wave charts on them. And like each page is like different colours of the charts. And he's like, right, so what we're thinking is, this point here in the chart, we're thinking the voice is like, you know, this is where a lot of the anger exists. And maybe at this point down on the wave chart, maybe this is where a bit more of the happiness is. And yeah, do you ever do that thing when somebody's saying something to you and you haven't got a clue, but you're just going, mm-hmm. I was just looking at this piece of paper like, what are you going on about? So anyway, in the end, I just went into the room next door, and obviously they can see them through the perspex glass and all that. And oh God, because all I'd ever done was commercials, right? So he was saying to me these are stories, but for some stupid reason, I sit there and I go straight into commercial voice. And the script was something, I'm paraphrasing, but the script was something on the lines of like, you know, if you've ever worked in an environment that you've been bullied, it makes you not want to go each day. Instead, I was like, if you've ever worked in an environment where you feel bullied, you may not want to go each day. And he paused it and he was like, okay. And that was it then. And then they did that thing with the intercom, like, you know, when they just, all right, yeah, that's nice, just one second. And then they mute you. And then they'll turn around in a huddle. It's like, oh no, I'm being absolutely slated. And it took us about 45 minutes to get this little monologue done. It was like, just imagine your friends sat in front. Honestly, it was like, this guy must have felt like, who is this person? Oh yeah, they had to properly like coach me through it. Like, it was really embarrassing. But whilst it was an embarrassing experience, I learned a tremendous amount from it. And, you know, from that experience, I was like, yeah, you can't, that sort of thing's invaluable. Embarrassing or not, it was invaluable.
That is a steep learning curve. I bet you learned loads from that though.
I've read something really useful quite early on. I heard something quite useful, which is that if you most of the time in this industry, most of the things that you're going to do is not in the booth. You're not going to spend most of your time in the booth recording the jobs. Yeah. That is the playtime. Most of your job is looking for work, right? Yeah. Looking for work, doing your socials, getting yourself out there, and just and making connections. And I love making friends like both of you. This has been so great to get to know you and keep these relationships going, not for any agenda, honestly, just so that we can stick together and champion 100%. Each other. But also, like, it's like, if you're lucky, it's 20% recording jobs. The rest of it is finding work. And so if you set your expectations that most of your time you're going to be looking out for, that's going to be your work, then you will be even more delighted when you actually book something.
Yeah. Yeah. And also,
as a newbie, that is so true.
And because you see,
like,
social media and it looks like everybody's busy all the time, everyone's recording all the time. And even now I have that, you know, that kind of comparison.
Yeah, same.
So it's just, it's a really good bit
of advice. That's what I was going to say. It's dead important, really, at any stage of your careers. Do not fixate on what other people are doing.
Just
stay in your lane and focus on yourself, because everyone's on their own individual journey. Yeah, because it's inevitable. If you're having a bit of a slump and you see other people like pumping work out all the time, inevitably you're going to feel a bit down on yourself. But, you know, and I've been there. I just stay off social media, because I just think, right, it's not a good way to spend my time. Yeah. You know, it's been seeing other people. If I'm not feeling good,
it's a healthy headspace, haven't you, to use socials.
Right, exactly. So you just need to sort of stay in your lane, focus on yourself, and just keep plodding on. But I think it's very easy to get wrapped up in that whole, you know, well, comparing what you're doing to what other people, especially when you're new.
Yeah.
Very quickly, I just want to add also, if you are going to reach out to voiceover artists as a newbie on a specialty, ask really intelligent questions.
Yeah, do your research first.
Don't ask the general, how do you get started? How do you do this? How do you do that? Which microphone should I get? I reached out to someone who had done the long reads on the Guardian podcasts, because I fell in love with his voice. Mm. I thought he was wonderful at what he was doing. So I reached out to him on Monday, actually, and said, look, I just wanted to tell you, I think yours are the best. I think your long reads are wonderful. I'm learning so much from you as a voiceover artist. And he said, thank you for the message. It made my day. Keep in touch. And so we've been messaging back and forth.
And who's
and I
that?
Did say to him,
can you say the
Dermot Daly.
Okay. Hello, Dermot.
What a lovely guy. Hi, Dermot. And I really appreciate his help, because I've been asking him I thought, I don't want to take up too much of his time.
Yeah.
I'm still someone he doesn't know. I want to ask a very intelligent question. So I said, look, I've done this Shima stuff and I'm continuing with that. And it's really made me think I want to get into documentary. As a long form narrator, what big piece of advice would you want a new person to know about documentary and narration? And he gave me this lovely, thoughtful answer about tapping into exactly who your audience is and the writer's intentions as well. And so I see from that I've got so much work to do, but I'm so excited to get started.
Well, I think on that positive note, I think that's a great way to wrap
motivated.
It up.
I'm feeling proper motivated. I'm definitely, I'm going to go and review my entire work. Where are my gaps?
Check out Shima.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think interesting, like, having these conversations, like, you kind of learn something yourself.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Do. We're always learning, aren't
it's,
we?
It's quite refreshing. Yeah, it's fun always listening to other. But I suppose that's kind
this
of the soul
so
of the part.
Yeah.
It's like just having that chat about other people's
and
journeys.
Because everybody's
and, like,
different. Everybody's bringing their own thing, aren't they? Different. Which is amazing.
And also, thank you for this, because no one has newbies on their podcast.
Well, you know what? Everyone's an expert in their own life. So, you know what? It's good to talk.
It's been so much fun shooting the breeze with both of you.
Thanks again to Shiraz, and we'll see you next week on the Off Air Voiceover Podcast.
Thanks very much for listening, folks.
Bye, Jen. Bye, Mikey.